Philippians chapter 4. The sermon is online right now from last week, and occasionally I'll have people. I feel really live. Is that just me? Okay. So occasionally people will say, well, that was a really great message. That was really great. One of the best you've ever preached. So you might owe it to yourself if you weren't here last week to go back, listen to the message. United in Tiffin website, and hear the message from last week. Pressing on toward the goal of the high call, the upward call of God. This week, we're just going to really briefly, it'll be a short message. We have communion that we want to save our time for. And busy morning, but I want to just encourage you with a few words of Paul's, verse 10, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, as we study on joy. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. So Paul talking a little bit about something we're going to talk about next week, and that's good stewardship. But Paul telling the church there in Philippi, one of the great churches, supporting churches of Paul, telling these supporters, you didn't have a lot of opportunity before, but I'm glad that now you have an opportunity to give back to my ministry. The context becomes more clear. We'll look into this a little bit next week. Please come. It'll be a great message, I promise you, next week. So can I say that enough? You need to come next week. It'll be a good message. But so today, I'm not going to deal with that. I want to jump to verse 11. But that I speak from, not that I speak from want. Paul didn't really have needs, or he wasn't trying to guilt anybody. But he says, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. And I want to just kind of focus on that word, to be content, whatever circumstance you're in. That's a tough thing. I was studying this passage, and it's interesting, the word content here that Paul uses is only used one time in the Greek New Testament. And so it's a unique word, this word content. And it's a deep-seated, really not contentment, it's a satisfaction. I'm satisfied with where I am. And I'm satisfied, and Paul says he's learned it. Consequently, you're not going to be, if you're young in your walk with God, it may take some time to learn how to be satisfied and to take your satisfaction in Jesus alone. Okay, sometimes it takes years. I still struggle with being content. Or is that something you've arrived at? Has anybody arrived at this idea of being content, whatever state you're in, to be content? He says, so not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. He's learned that. Anybody here learned that yet? You could pass the A-plus class. Oh, good, a few of us. I think that many of us have not learned that. Have not learned, whatever circumstance that you're in, can you be deeply in your heart satisfied? No matter what's going on in my life, I'm satisfied and content. I think that's a learned thing. It's not natural. It's something that we learn, and God puts us in circumstances to learn these lessons. So we're always in this journey of learning, but Paul had learned it. Paul can be in prison, in Roman imprisonment, and write to us, the body of Christ, and say, listen, I'm not in want. Really? Because like if I were you, I'd want to be out of prison. I'd want to eat a nice meal. I'd want to be back on the field doing what God's doing God's work out in freedom. I would want water. It's interesting. He talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy, and he's like, you know, he's in prison there, in Roman prison, and he says, you know, it'd be nice if I had a blanket. some writing, some paper and a pen. And he's like asking for these basic things, all he needs is just basic things, and he's happy, he's content. It seems like in our lives, too often, if everything's not going exactly right, we're not satisfied, we're discontent, we're on the yo-yo of life. Some days we're really happy, some day we're not. I had a bad day, this stinks, you're catching me at a bad day. So how about let's practice and learn contentment? Let's practice and learn how to be content and satisfied with the circumstances that God has us, because it's in those circumstances that we're going to find God working in our life. So God's not going to bless you anywhere other than where you are. And we're always trying to get out of our circumstances. I don't like it here. It's uncomfortable here. And we're trying to get over there. God's not over there. God's here. In my life, in my circumstances, and that's where God wants to meet me and bless me. And we're trying to get over there. God's not there. He is here. And God will never bless you anywhere other than where you are. Seems pretty simple to understand, doesn't it? Where you are is where God has you, and that's God's place of blessing for you. So the second we kind of understand that, the second we just say, God, I get it. I'm here. I don't like it. I'm fighting it, but I'm not going to fight. I'm going to be satisfied and content. I'm going to let you fight my battles. I'm going to stop trying to get out of my circumstances, and I'm going to just be satisfied and content in my circumstances and let you deal with the rest. We're always trying to get out of it. Do you feel that way sometimes? In fact, we get into bad circumstances, and we want to pray our way out. Sometimes God is, well, maybe God wants you in your circumstances. Maybe praying your way out is not the answer. Maybe just saying, God, I'm here. Bless me here. Help me to be content here. I don't like it, but in you, I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I don't have to be anywhere else. I'm content. So Paul learned this in verse 13. He kind of goes further, or verse 12 rather. I know how to get along with humble means. So in other words, I know how to get along with very little. He's learned how to, in prison, be satisfied. I can get along with these circumstances. That's fine. I can get along with little. And also, I know how to live in prosperity. Prosperity is not wrong. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. God wants you to prosper to some degree, right? God does not want you to be impoverished where you can't bless anybody. What if God was calling us all to dire poverty? How could we meet anybody's needs? God's not for that. We need to get out of this mentality of a poverty mentality. God wants me poor. I'm not saying God wants you riding a Cadillac, but God wants you to have capacity to bless other people. Is that right? Well, that seems pretty simple. I know how to get along with humble means, but I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Paul learned how to be filled in any circumstance. I learned the secret of being filled and of going hungry. He learned how to live in these contrasting worlds. I can live well with my prosperity and honor God in that. A lot of people that can't honor God in prosperity. So the trick is honoring God with your prosperity. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. But on this side, you don't have much. Honor God with that. Honor God with, know how to live with a lot, know how to live with a little. Know how to be content with a lot. There's a lot of people that aren't content and they are prosperous. So there's always wanting more. But that is no good. It's always wanting more, always consumer mentality, always I want more, 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 more. God's not honored with that. There's nothing healthy about a mentality that says, I have prosperity, but I can't, but I'm not happy. Be satisfied. Be satisfied. You know the trick to not being content or not being set. The trick to getting enough, does anybody know the trick to getting enough? It's not getting more and more. It's desiring less. The trick to getting enough is not getting more and more. The trick to getting enough is desiring less. So we have a desire problem. Paul says, not a problem for me. I've lived in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I lived the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And I want to just make, I feel like heavy about this. I'm going to talk some statistics for those of us that say, but I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot. I just want to put this in perspective of the world that Paul was talking to and the world that we have here in America, is just some statistics for whatever it's worth. Every American child in America eats in 1 year the equivalent of 20 children in India that are impoverished. That means that every American child eats 20 times more food than an Indian child in poverty. We don't overeat. We badly overeat. We overeat, we overbuy, we overconsume. In America, we overdesire. It annoys me. I'm going to say this just because I can. It annoys me, and I'm not, trust me. I'm preaching to myself. There's got to be a balance here in what I'm saying, but I'm preaching myself. There's no question about this. But we have a desire problem, and we want more and more and more. You feel what I'm saying? We want more and more and more and more, and we consume more and more and more and more, and we're never satisfied with where we are. Occasionally it bugs me, but I have my own problems in other areas, but occasionally my girls will. I can't handle living with girls that much. I didn't have sisters. So the girl thing sort of annoys me a little. So occasionally, I love my girls, but I can't handle, and this bugs me, tomorrow morning, there have been a lot of tomorrow mornings, 7 o'clock in the morning, and they don't want to wear this. It's ugly. It doesn't match. It matches. No, it doesn't match. And then I got two crying girls, 7 o'clock. This is how I'm starting my week. Two crying girls crying about clothes. I just can't take this. I have to just totally get away from this situation. And occasionally I'll just blow my top and say, are you kidding me? There are kids around the world that don't have two outfits. And you have 100 outfits to choose from. You're crying about, this doesn't match. Get over it. And Kelly's like, it's really not that. They're just emotional. It's really not. It's just the difference between boys and girls. I totally get it. I get it. I didn't have sisters, so this is all foreign to me. I'm like, just give me some, I don't care, give me some clothes. I'm happy to wear the same pants that I wore yesterday, the pants I wore last year, my flannel-lined tan pants. I'm happy to wear that every day of the winter, and I don't care what anybody says. I saw you wearing that yesterday, and I'll wear it tomorrow. No problem here. Girls want outfits. And then when you get an adult, you want shoes and purses. I haven't bought clothes in 6 months. Well, hey, I'm not talking to Kelly. This is a pretend argument with a pretend spouse. Well, hey, there's a lot of spouses that hadn't bought an outfit ever. I wasn't talking to Kelly. That's never happened. There's a sense in which we don't have any perspective. And the thing is, getting some perspective about where other people are. It's the thing living in America that's killing us. I love America. America gives 50% of what we grow goes to other third world countries. We're doing a good job in America, but we consume an awful lot too. Let's not kid ourselves. There's nothing wrong with consuming. There's nothing wrong with being happy. There's nothing wrong with living in abundance. There's nothing wrong with this nation. The reason why it's prosperous is because to some degree it's honored God for the better part of its history. So God's blessing us. I think we ought to honor that. But we should be content in what we have. And we should not be always trying to get more. There's something wrong with that attitude. And God is for giving things. And the extent to which God is blessing you with abundance is to be a bigger blessing to other people. And so we have to fight this. Two-thirds of the world is food deficient. A half of the world lives on $2.50 a day. 80% of the world lives on $10 a day. 80% of the world that lives on $10 a day eats one meal a day. Kelly knows this bothers me the most. When we're at home and they don't like what they're eating, they don't like the dinner, it's boring. That's something that gets me sensitive about that. This is a meal. And God has given it to feed us, and we ought to be thankful. So out on, I wanted pizza. Out on that. I mean, you know, this is what kids do. Trust me, I did it when I was a kid. Be thankful for what you have. Okay, we need to be parents that speak into our kids a spirit of thankfulness, contentment, and satisfaction with where we are. And that means the dinner table. That's the life that they have. That's the life they're dealing with, is the life of the dinner table. Right? That's the lesson. That's the ground that we teach them. Be content. Be content. You have a meal today. Thank God that you get to eat. That's the training ground. The training ground is Monday morning. When they want another pair of shoes, the training ground is, no, God has blessed you with those shoes, and you wear them out. Maybe not wear them out, but you use them, and you're thankful for them. And you're not coming at this thing with the spirit of discontentment. I'm content where I am. I'm content with what I have. I don't need stuff to be happy. What I need is Jesus to be happy. I don't need more shoes, more outfits, more Star Wars Lego, because I'm thinking about Star Wars Lego. I love Star Wars Lego. I don't need that stuff to be happy. I need Jesus to be content and fulfilled. And that comes in lifelong learning. But at some point, let's get the learning on. Let's learn how to be content. Let's forget about striving for more. Let's be more concerned about giving and de-accumulating. Let's be more concerned with the plight of others and less concerned with ourselves. Here you have Paul saying, I don't really need anything. Paul, come on, be honest, you need stuff. No, I'm perfectly satisfied in Christ. I need nothing. I've learned the secret of being filled and the secret of going hungry, both of having abundance and of suffering need. But in all that, Paul says, I've learned to be content. Whatever the circumstance, I've learned to be content. No, the reality is that if we believe that we're children of the Most High God, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God will provide our needs. And we don't need all this stuff to be happy. I'm so glad we're going on this mission trip. I want, if you can, it would be a good trip to go on. It's for college students and for the high school, but we're just opening it up. This is not vacation. It's definitely not vacation. This is a mission trip. But I love going on these mission trips. I used to go on one once a year to the Dominican Republic. I saw tremendous poverty in little Haitian camps that were there. It's just tremendous, tremendous poverty. And it kind of brings you back to when you see that, it just kind of warps you out of, man, we live in a culture that has a lot of stuff. And we drive around and we want more. I was reading a statistic this morning that 60% of the world has very little electrical grid. And 20% of the world lives on no electricity at all. 20%. No electricity. And we have it pretty good. We just flip on a light. We want electricity. We want air conditioned. We have it good. Listen, the rest of the world's not living it like that. But you know, the world that is not living like that, it seems like Christianity is really prospering there. It's in America where Christianity is declining. Well, but we can't divide out the first world countries where the decline in Christianity. Why? We have everything we need. We don't need Jesus. And you go to the third world countries where they have nothing and they're completely happy in their relationship with Jesus. I wonder why that is. Well, there's a connection here. And the connection is, it's not the wealth that's the problem. Again, hear me. It's not the wealth that's the problem. It's the desiring more that's the problem. It's the discontent that's the problem. It's seeing everybody else and the greed and the I want to be like them. And that's the problem. A deep-seated discontentment. All this stuff has polluted us. So we want more, we want more, we want more. But to the rest of the world, they have nothing, have perfectly great relationships. You meet some really fantastic, wonderful believers that give a lot for their faith, give everything. I remember a story when one of the times I went to the Dominican Republic and there was a girl we met that her mom was a Haitian voodoo witch doctor. And so twice a week, the one meal they ate was a chicken that was sacrificed for whatever voodoo god, Haitian voodoo deity that they sacrificed. It was a very poor country. That was the only meal she was going to have. And because of her relationship with God, she would not eat that chicken offered to idols. That's a tough thing. Well, I love Jesus. Now, I'll give up my two meals a week. I'll give up, two meals out of my seven a week. For my love for Jesus. We have troubles making simple sacrifices to Jesus. God's not asking a lot, and it's hard for us to make very, very simple sacrifices. So wake up. God's calling us to bigger and better. God's calling us out of that, out of this world of greed, and into something else. He's setting us apart for a better way of living. And we're mired up in the world of the United States of America, prosperity and hot dogs and apple pie. And God's calling us to something bigger. He goes on, I'm almost done. I lost my place. I can do, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have all this, I want to correct an awful theology, if I can. That verse everybody uses to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Well, I would love to see you fly without a plane. Okay, listen, you can't do all things through Christ who strengthens you, okay? I defy most of us to try to beat Michael Jordan or the guy here. What's the guy in Cleveland? LeBron James. Let's beat him in basketball. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, you can't. There may be other verses that help to support some kind of theology that looks like that, but this ain't the verse. This verse is not talking about doing all things. This is talking about I can accept all things through Christ who gives me strength. This is right tied into a context of being thankful and satisfied with the place that you are in your life. This is not about doing all things through Christ. This is about whatever circumstance you're in, I can accept it through Jesus because God's going to give me strength to do it. It's important to have a theology that's accurate based on the context. I can accept all things. No, I can't accept that. It's just too hard. You can. God's in you. You can do it. God will give you the strength to accept your circumstances. You may fight it, but God will give you the strength. I can do all things through Christ. Yeah, if what we mean is I can accept all things through Christ, that verse is absolutely accurate. So I'm a little opposed to this translation because it's not particularly accurate. It is about accepting the circumstances that you're in. I can accept them. God gives me strength. I can accept it. I can be content. Whatever state I'm in, I can be content. I don't have to keep getting more. I don't have to keep trying to accumulate more and more. I can just desire less and be happy. I can be content. I don't need to get more shoes, get more this, get more that, get more you fill in the blank, the thing that makes you happy. I don't have to do that. I don't have to get more friends. I don't have to have more this, more that. I can just be content wherever I am today, whatever your circumstances is, rest in Jesus. Whatever your circumstance is, tough, if it's tough, rest in Jesus. If it's good circumstances, hey, that's great, but don't rest in your circumstances, rest in Jesus. So I have it really good, I'm living really well, that's great. God bless you, use it for Jesus' sake and rest in Jesus. If you have it bad today, God is for you, he loves you. Maybe he's got something ahead of you that's better, but for now, rest in Jesus. We do need to stand against this idea that God wants us impoverished. I don't want to walk away saying that. God's word says very clearly, don't be a borrower, be a lender. You can't be poor and be a lender. It's not good to be a borrower. You hearing me? Everybody hearing this? We're not talking about a poverty gospel. We're not talking about a prosperity gospel. What we're talking about is a contentment gospel. I'm happy no matter what the circumstances is in prosperity, in poverty. I'm happy because my thing is not about the stuff I get. My thing is about the God I serve. If you're struggling this morning with that, maybe you're in a tough circumstance. God is for you. Be content. You can accomplish anything and accept anything through Christ who gives you strength. No question about that. If you're doing very well today and you're resting on that, resting on your prosperity, don't rest on your prosperity. Rest on Jesus. Rest on the relationship that you have with him. Bless God. Thank God that you're doing well. Nothing wrong with that. Use it for Jesus. Above all else, let's be the kind of people, let's be a church that's content. Let's be a church that's content. You ever met discontented people? They're always unhappy. You know what I'm saying? Always unhappy, always unsatisfied with the state of their universe. Oh man, then you meet Christians that are just tough times, but they're content. I love that. See, in Christ we can be content no matter what our circumstances, no matter what's going on, no matter what's going on. And let's be parents. God help us to be parents that use our everyday circumstances to teach contentment in Christ. Amen? Amen. Lord, help us. Lord, help us today to be the kind of church you're calling us to be. Lord, we pray for a contented spirit. And Lord, we stand against poverty. But Lord, we're for contentment. We're not against, Lord, wealth. We're against greed. Lord, help us to be a church that honors you with our finances. Help us to be a church that honors you in our circumstances. Bless this church. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.